Well, we, as you know by now, are in this series called I Believe. We've spent a few weeks looking at why we have creeds in the first place. We've talked about the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We've taken a couple of weeks to look specifically at God the Father, a couple of weeks to look at God the Son, Jesus. And now today and next week, we're diving in to look more deeply at God the Holy Spirit. To help us with that today, I'd like to have you take a Bible out in whatever form you have it. And let's flip to Acts chapter 2. If you're using the Bible in the chairs, that'll be page 910. If you're in the front row, you can reach behind you. Everybody else can reach ahead. Get a Bible in some way on your phone or wherever. But I want you to see these verses with me. This is the day of Pentecost. It is certainly a day where the Holy Spirit is very prominent. And Peter is standing up to preach to thousands of people that have assembled in Jerusalem because of the Feast of Pentecost. And he is going to begin, or we're going to begin, where he quotes the prophet Joel. So chapter 2 of Acts, verse 16. Peter said, "This is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." And a little later on, Peter begins to refer specifically to Jesus. So flip to, or just take your eyes to verse 32. "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him," that is Jesus, "both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." This is a spectacular text that is all about the Trinity and how the Trinity connects with his people. What we see in the Pentecost account is God the Father, who has poured out his Spirit on his Son Jesus at his baptism. Jesus now pours out the Holy Spirit on the disciples. The Holy Spirit is poured out from the disciples to the people, who, because the Holy Spirit bears witness to Jesus and accomplishes his role as the Holy Spirit, leads people to Jesus, who all his life was leading people back to God the Father. It's a beautiful Trinitarian text that has God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit very much involved with his people. And the idea that I want to latch onto this morning is this whole business of pouring. There are several times in this text and elsewhere in the Old and New Testaments where God refers to the fact that he will pour out the Holy Spirit into the lives of people who are dry, thirsty, broken, and empty. I will pour out my spirit. I wonder if any of you have ever experienced or are now experiencing what it means to be empty or dry or thirsty or broken. So I brought some pouring utensils with me this morning. And I suppose the obvious first lesson about pouring is that there is some direction to it. We pour from full into empty. It's not the other way around. And so full goes into empty. And if you're to look at these receptacles today and figure out which one you are, one being the Holy Spirit, one being you, I am clearly this one, right? And we are empty. We come to God empty. I don't think most of us came today saying, "Oh God, thank you. I'm so full. I just came to get topped off a bit." I don't think any one of us came today saying, "God, look at how full I am. You should just be so blessed by me." I don't think so. I think we come empty. It's a picture that the Bible speaks about us, and we come as empty people, as thirsty people. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs shall be the kingdom of God." He was saying, blessed are those who know that they need God. Blessed are those who come aware of their shortcomings, aware of the fact that they need God, because when you get yourself in that position, when people come knowing that they have a need, they're more positioned to receive from God. And so we are empty. But the Bible tells us, sadly, it's worse than that. We're not just empty. The Bible says, apart from Christ and apart from the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, we're actually not only empty, we are turned away. We're spiritually blind and dead and enemies of God. And as such, even if God wanted to pour into us, we couldn't actually receive. And so the first work of the Holy Spirit is to turn us from opposition to God to being ready to receive. As Luther said it, I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctifies and keeps me in the one true faith. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, the first work of the Holy Spirit, that enables us even to be able to receive. And so the Holy Spirit does his work. And then have you noticed that over the course of time, our lives look a little bit like this? And because of our sinful nature, we turn away again. And it's just, this isn't working. But God enables us by the power of his Spirit to be receiving, to receive the Holy Spirit, and he pours into our lives by his grace, not according to our merits, but by his grace. He pours into us. Jesus said, "I'm going to give you living water." I'm going to deal with your thirst. Actually, this business of drinking illustrates the second point about pouring. We pour for a purpose. Why do you pour a glass of water? You pour for a purpose. You're thirsty. You need something to drink. The purpose that you pour a glass of water is you need to be hydrated. I've noticed that my wife almost every day goes out onto the deck in our backyard, where she has these containers of absolutely beautiful flowers, vibrant colors, beautiful. And every day she pours into those flowers. And she reminds me when she goes off for a few days to visit the grandkids or whatever, wherever else she goes, she reminds me that I need to remember that those plants need water so that when she comes home, they'll still be colorful and thriving and vibrant. You pour gasoline into a tank, not to drink, but for the very specific purpose of being able to drive that car to take you where you're trying to go. We pour for a purpose. And so, according to the scriptures today and according to Acts chapter 2, the same thing happens. The Holy Spirit is poured out for a purpose. And when the apostle Peter talks about this in chapter 2, and he gets to that one verse, verse 32, and he says, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we're all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, Jesus, has poured out this, which we'll talk about in a moment, that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." So Jesus pours out this, he's pouring out the Holy Spirit for a purpose. There's a point to their seeing and hearing. And what did they see and what did they hear? They saw and witnessed, this shouldn't be missed, this is no small thing. They witnessed what amounted to men who didn't have an education beyond perhaps, let's say, grade school, uneducated men, never been anywhere where it's cultured at all, and they witnessed these men standing up boldly, courageously, speaking with power. And what are they speaking? They're speaking in the native languages of all the people that had assembled in Pentecost. This was unbelievable. They couldn't believe their eyes or their ears, and it was all for a purpose. Jesus was pouring the Holy Spirit out so that these people that received the Holy Spirit from the overflow of the apostles would heed the voice of the Holy Spirit. He was bearing witness to Jesus and doing what the Holy Spirit was sent to do to bring people to Jesus, and it was all happening. And they say to Peter and the apostles, "What are we going to do? We're toast, basically, if what you're saying is true, that this Jesus who was raised from the dead and that he was crucified because of our sins, that our sins put him on the cross and we have no chance, what should we do?" And Peter shared that good gospel news, that news of grace. Peter basically said this. I have to empty this for a minute. He said, "Repent. Repent. Believe. Be baptized. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you will have salvation." And they did. So the Father pours the Spirit into Jesus at his baptism. Jesus pours out his Spirit on the disciples. And now the disciples speak to the people. Those disciples had the Holy Spirit move into the lives of those that were listening to them, and 3,000 people came to faith. They discovered that they were receptacles to receive the Holy Spirit so that they could be poured out to those who yet had not come to know Christ. And that's the modern day disciple calling, that we are filled with God's Spirit, that we might pour out our lives. And so there are people that from time to time become thirsty. I don't know where they are. There's one of them. And so I see Vernon, so I pour into his life. And who else do I see that might, oh yes, Chloe might just be a little thirsty today. And I pour out, I pour in my life into people that need Jesus, and I want to because I care for them, and it's awesome to be able to be used as an instrument of God, and I pour out my life, and it's great, but then I have this problem, see, and I'm empty again. I wonder if you've experienced that. Sometimes it's a very good thing that we do, that we empty out our lives to bless the lives of other people, and then we find ourselves a bit empty ourselves. sometimes sadly, were emptied out for not so good reasons, because there are actually holes in this thing. There's that sin that we have that causes us to kind of leak, if you will. But we're empty. I've been there. You've been there. I want you to know that if you've ever been there, the person that understands that the most is Jesus. This is a fascinating thing. Jesus, who we know, we've been preaching on this for the last several weeks, was true God, is true God. He was with God. He was God in the beginning. All things made through him. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, true God. And yet, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus, who had equality with God, let go of that. Do you know the Greek word that's in there is actually the word that means literally, he emptied himself. So Jesus emptied himself and took on the form of a servant, and all the way to the point where he was crucified on a cross to pay the penalty and the price of our sins. He became empty that we might become full. He who was rich became poor for our sakes. And think about this. The one who was God himself, who emptied himself, who said, come to me and drink and I'll give you living water, now hangs on the cross and says what? I thirst. So if there's anybody that understands what it means to be empty, if there's anyone that can identify with you, it's the very Son of God. Because on that very dark and desperate night, when he was abandoned by his friends and denied and betrayed, and Jesus got to the point where he was basically saying to God his Father, I don't know if I have enough in me to do this. I don't know if I can go on with this. Is there any other way? Nevertheless, not what I want, Father, what you want. And he ended up on that cross pouring out his very life, pouring out his very blood, that you and I might have life. If there's anybody that understands what it means to be empty, it's Jesus. And it's Jesus who would fill us. But I know, and you know, right, that Jesus doesn't intend for us to just go around through most of our lives just kind of almost completely empty or empty. There must be a different way of looking at this. There must be a different vision, a different picture. And there is. It was a picture that happened out of all places, a well, when Jesus came to a woman who was very much alone, very much ostracized and alienated, a woman who, spiritually speaking, was very far from God. And Jesus came to this woman out of all places, a well, and said, I have a water that I'd like for you to drink. And this water, if you'll drink it, you'll never thirst again, but it will become a water that will well up to everlasting life that will fill you to the point of overflowing, that you will never thirst again. And this is the picture that Jesus would have for you and for me today. It's not just some sort of drive-by occasional remembering of what Christ did for us in our baptism. It's not going to be good enough. Or it's not some drive-through fast food approach. I'm just going to go and get a little bit of God, you know, here and now. I that's why I need to go to church every now and then, because I got to get filled up again so that I can move on. No, it's so much more than that. So obviously you know that this isn't some sort of magic trick, right? No, my friend Greg Schultz on our maintenance staff this week heard what I wanted to do, and he built me this thing. There's actually a little tiny little water pump down in there, and there's a cord coming out, stretches underneath this rug, underneath those steps, goes all the way over there to that wall where just a little while ago, Kurt, my helper, snuck up there and plugged it in. Now, had he not done that, had we not built this, this would have been a visual, I suppose. But if there were no source of power, it would be stagnant. And that glass would have ended up empty. And at a certain point, there'd be no flowing anywhere. Which is to say that we need to be connected to that source of life that we find Jesus so willing to give. And I want to share this with you. I want to share these verses from Revelation because all week long, as we thought about this message and kind of played it out in our minds as to how it would work, we had no idea what would happen this past week to dear friends. And when I think of Ty and Terry, I think of a couple that poured out their lives so well. What a beautiful picture of two people that lived their lives well. And I can tell you this, and Ty and Terry would not mind me saying this to you. They've sat in my office before and said to me, "We're feeling a little empty." No surprise. Absolutely no surprise. When you pour out your life so frequently and so often, there are those times when we get empty. It happens to every one of us. But I'll tell you what, they didn't stay that way very long. I don't know that I know two people in the city of Omaha that have had such an impact like they have, giving hope to so many people. And now these are words that I think are very, very appropriate for today. Revelation chapter 7, verse 15. "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb will be in the midst of the throne. He will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." I'd like you to pray with me, please. Lord, thank you for the promise that you've given to us that is your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've called us out of love and out of grace, people that oftentimes are empty and dry and thirsty and broken, even sometimes turned away from you, but you are so good. Lord, today we do celebrate the lives of friends who poured out their lives into the lives of others, who poured them out into the lives of others. We will not know until we get to heaven one day the impact that they made. And Lord, may they be an example for us. So Lord, I pray that we would not try to live our lives out as modern day disciples with an occasional filling up, a drive-by or a drive-through approach, God, but that every day we would be renewed in the waters of our baptism. Every day we would drown the old sinful nature within us, that a new man should rise forth. Every day, God, we would come to you, to the source of life, to receive your Holy Spirit, Lord, that our lives would be used to spread into the lives of others hope. Lord, we bless you and we thank you. And we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Let all who are thirsty come and drink. It's our prayer, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.